Lord, we praise you. We declare your greatness in this place. We declare your greatness in Red Deer. We declare your greatness in Alberta. We declare your greatness in Canada. We declare your greatness in the entire world. You are a great God. There's no God beside you. There's no God beside you. And we're so honored and so grateful that we can worship you and that you call us your own. We are the children of the Most High God. How can we not praise you? How can we not worship you? We thank you for your presence in this place. Amen. You may be seated.
Than me to operate this. I think we got it now. We got it now? Is that working? Can you hear me? All right, here we go. Yeah, this is I've said it before. I hope you don't get tired of me saying it, but this is a good place to be. So glad you're here. So glad to see Ricky waving hello. What a doll. Awesome. No, this is a good place. A verse that came to mind here just before I came up was Colossians 3:17. God says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And then the one song that we were led in here was, we were singing, "Glory to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Whatever and all that we do here this morning, let's bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's lift up him and glorify him. This is going to be a great Sunday. You know, there's a number of times people have said, we don't hear people's testimonies as much or as often as we used to in the old building or wherever. And so there's been a call for that, and this Sunday here this morning, besides me announcing the craft night coming up Friday night, we're going to spend this morning not with one person bringing a message, but with all of us having a chance to share your testimony. Maybe you have a word for the church. Maybe you have a report that you want to share about something that is good and godly that's going on in your life or has recently gone on. Or maybe you have a prayer request because there's something that's not good and there's something not godly going on in your life or around you or maybe in your body or whatever, and you would like prayer. We we're going to support you in that. And you, if you request it, we will. There will be people that are going to come and pray with you for sure. So, craft night. Just so I don't get slapped around here today, I want to make sure that I mention there's a craft night. The girls are putting crafts together Friday night here at the building, 6 p.m. to 8:30. So I guess it's not just for girls. I suppose guys can come and put crafts together too if that's what they like doing. That's whatever. It's available Friday night here at the building. So yeah. You know, Margaret and our family have been coming to Potter's since 2010, right? Yeah, 2010. And somebody has said, well, you haven't given your testimony. And I was like, just hang on, buddy. Yeah, just hang on. I'll get to you. And just, I'll give you a minute. Something? You bet. Just give me a minute, okay? As soon as I'm done, I'll give you a chance, okay? So I'm right in the middle of something here. Yeah, I'll be right with you. Yeah. So, you know, just a quick try and wrap, try and get you my story. So Stan has said to me, well, you've never given your testimony. And I was like, yeah, it's because my kids are in the room. No, I'm not joking. And I didn't want to do it. There's no way I was going to do it. Well, our kids aren't here this morning. So, yeah. When I was in grade 7, some anonymous guy came along into our classroom and gave us a Bible. He gave each of us a Bible. And there is a daily reading schedule in the front of this Bible that these guys hand out. And I started reading it. I started reading this. You know, if it was April 4th, well, then I'd go to that part and I'd read April 4th, and then the next day I'd read the next. And I had this screwed up idea that that's all I needed to do, that if I read the Bible, that was my ticket to ride. That was my ticket to heaven. And so as I got older and I went beyond grade 7 and into high school and beyond high school, I was a liquor pig and smoked anything and everything. And, yeah, I was messed up. My life was just screwy. But I couldn't drive home, but when I got home, when I stumbled into bed, I read the Bible. It's all right. I'm good. Right? And one day, my older sister was going to university, and she's started dating up this guy that's not only reading the Bible, but he's trying to live it. And there's a weekend thing coming up for young people. And out of the blue, she says to him, well, my brother reads the Bible. Can he come too? And I didn't think they'd want people like me there. But anyways, he says, of course. And I met this preacher guy that was working on campus in Saskatoon. And we started talking. And I thought they were all idiots. Nonetheless, we met up in Saskatoon a couple months later, and for a year and a half, he was more more tenacious than I was obstinate. And a year and a half later, I said, yep, you're right. The Bible is right, and I need to obey it and not just read it. And I submitted my life to Christ in the waters of baptism, November 11th, Remembrance Day, November 11th, 1984. And, yeah, and I'm, you know, I look at Remembrance Day, and we're reminded of a lot of people that gave their lives so that we might have life and that we might have freedom. And that we might be able to live in a country like this. And much more importantly than that, one man, the Son of God, gave his life so that we could have life. and that we could have freedom, that we could have forgiveness, and we have a hope of eternity with Him. I like November 11th. November 11th is a good day for me, Remembrance Day. So, that's about the end of it. Like I said before, all of you have an opportunity this morning. If you would like to share your story, if you would like to share some joy, if you would like to share a prayer request, if you have a word for the church, come on up, or we'll get you a mic, whatever you prefer. Gaston has his hand up. Gordon Butterfly has his hand up. Oh, hey, is it good to see Sonny here or what? Hey? Oh, yeah. And wherever you like, I'll be right there. Oh, sure. No, don't go away. Huh? I just want to say it was so awesome to see Sade up here too, singing, and Doug Kitty. Well, thank you to everybody who pitches in, whether you're pitching in up front here, or if you're pitching in mopping the floor, or if you're pitching in the sound booth, leading a Bible study, attending a Bible study. Keep going. Keep pitching in. And we need you, and let's do it all to the glory of God.
Okay, so does that work up there?
They'll get it to work up there. If they don't already, they'll get it to work. Here, do you want to use this one?
Sure. Oh, is it? All right, thank you. Okay, it's not heavy enough.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ great? Can we attest to what He's done in our life? Can we say amen to the miracles that He's done in our life? And the community that we live in? How He's changing it slowly and drastically, and at the same time with miracles and just wonderful things that are happening in our day-to-day life? Can we actually give praise for the trials that we go through? Yes. That's exactly it. That's what we do. So I'm going to go through some scriptures. James 1. Romans 5, 1-7, Colossians 3, I'll just read them. How about that? Because in reality, it's God's word that I live on. It's God's word that I have a relationship with Him. God the Father is my dad. My dad is the one that takes care of me through His word, His instruction, you know. And he chastises those that He considers as children. And one of the things that I have to say to that is right here. I'm not quite sure if I'm being chastised, but I got bit by a pit bull. So, yeah, it was quite something. And it was just on my first mission trip to the reservation, or to the Sunchild community, I guess you could say. I'll get to that later. There's a whole bunch of things that actually fit together with that. But anyhow, let's dive into what God's word is. And then I'll read these words. And then when we go through that, you can just sort of see how the process goes in regards to how God has been working in my life. And not only in my life, but in your guys' lives as well. So let's just bow our head. Lord Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Instill it in our hearts. Let it grow. Let it be a wellspring in our bellies, Lord, so that you could flow through us, Lord, and the love is here through us and through everybody that is an ambassador, Lord. Thank you so much for this morning. And just thank you for watering us and keeping us and helping us grow. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first one's James 1. I'm getting older nowadays. I think I need glasses. I'm sort of having fun with my... Here, let's do it this way instead. I'll hold it up. All right. Okay, so James, number 2, trials and temptations. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its works so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all those without finding fault, and will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown, tossed, and by the wind. That man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all he does. So with that, you know, I have to admit that trials come because I need to grow. And within that growth, I need to be able to know that I can depend on God's word. So when, like, whether poor or rich, you know, with wanting or not wanting, I have to give glory to God. You know, whether my fridge is full with food or I'm really trying to scrape by for gas money, you know, all it is a matter that I have to trust in God and give glory to him in my life. Because no matter what, this everything will pass away here, no matter what. And these trials that I'm going through, the devil just wants to keep on putting pressure on me to see if I'll fold. See how true God's word is and how true my faith is in God. And that reality for me is that I need to quote his word. I know that I have a relationship with him because I read his word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I trust in that word. So anyhow, the second one is Romans 5, 1 to 5. We'll get there. We'll get there. All right, perfect. Peace and joy. Okay, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So I'm very grateful that I have a counselor, a comforter, because I know that I'm going to have discomfort in this life. My dad's going to die. My baby's going to die. People are going to leave me. I'm going to feel like I'm abandoned, like nobody's there. And the truth of the matter is that the enemy uses those lies, those events in life to try and say that God did it. God's the one who took your father. He's the one. He knows everything. And the reality is, you know, I used to blame God. And the thing about it is that I was sitting with a friend of mine, and one of the things that, don't worry about it, but one of the things that I have to share is that the truth is that the enemy is the liar, the thief, and the destroyer. Is that not right? Is that not what the word says? So we got the creator, the author of life, the one who creates, builds, and blesses us with all spiritual blessings. So when we consider death, life, you know, the difference, who is the one who created my baby? Who is the one who stole my baby? Death and the devil. So a lot of the time, society seems to want to blame God. In reality, we don't even actually know our enemy half the time. Because as soon as we're delivered, we get thrown into this spiritual battle that we don't even have a clue about, and we have to be taught and matured on the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that shows these lies of the enemy, that the devil and his spiritual powers and principalities of all in dark places are against us. As soon as we become a candle in the darkness, we are now going to be under attack. And I think a lot of people really need to know that these things are going to come, whatever they may be. And I know that through my own experience.
Lord Jesus' name, help us.
And he will, and he is going to. And we're going to pray for you before this day's over, I'm telling you. You're going to have prayer today. I'm telling you right now. Colossians 3. Let's go to that, please.
Psalms.
Colossians 3. Okay, here we go. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have been taken off your old self with its practices and then put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So now, do you see those things that I once was? These things I used to do, the things I used to gossip about, I used to tell, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And half the time, you know what, for me, these things don't make sense. You know, if I'm not going to talk to the person themselves, I'm not going to listen to it. If I can't talk to that person myself to verify anything, then to me, I don't really want to hear it. Because then I'm just enlightening and I'm just enlightening the devil to actually listen to what's going on, you know? And the truth of the matter is, if anything, we should be praying for people. Always lifting each other up. Always lifting people up in prayer. Always lifting up people in prayer. Because that's what we are called to do. That's what we are called to do. 2 Corinthians. Let's move to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Thank you for your patience. Okay, never mind. Let's go to 17. So 5:17. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, as he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Isn't that something? I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. Every one of you that carries the Holy Spirit in you is the righteousness of God. You have to claim that. That is yours. This is ours to take. We are ambassadors. We have authority. We have the power of the God living within us every day, every minute, every hour. We have power. And God is the one who's given us that power to walk in this world and to defeat the enemy under our foot. He has no place in our life. We can tell the devil, get out of our life. You have no thoughts in my mind. You have no thoughts in my business. You have no deeds in my life. I have no qualms with you. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, get out. Take every thought captive. Take every thought captive unto the word of God. That's what we need to do. That's what I need to do. I need to claim this. And it's not self-righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. I stand in his authority, not my own. Because I have no authority as a man. But with Jesus Christ living in me, we have ultimate authority. Yes, isn't that amazing? We can tell those lies of those whispers, oh, no one loves you. No one cares for you. Oh, they're just lying. Don't go. Stay home. Nobody wants to hear you. You know, these things that the enemy whispers in our life. Like how many of us can attest to the fact that we hear the enemy? It's almost like we're bipolar or something, eh? Schizophrenic, eh? It's the truth, though. The enemy whispers into our life. And the truth is that, once again, we have authority. Claim that authority. Claim that righteousness of God. All right, so Ephesians 6:20. Please, thank you. All right, well, I'm just going to start from 6:10, tell you the truth. I'll read it all because we know we need to know. We need to hear the word of God. Amen? Every day, every minute, every hour, it says, you know, in Timothy, read the word scripturally out loud in public. So that's what I do. I practice reading out loud. All right, so Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Those are thoughts, huh? Or emotions. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, being alert. And always keep on praying for the saints. So always be lifting up your fellow neighbors, your fellow people, your church members, so that when we pray in unity. And when we're in a church, we pray in unity for the church. Always lifting people up that come and go and come and go and stay and that are foundations and pillars. There's always people that need prayer in our church, no matter what. So pray for me that when I open my... My words be given me so that may fierce me and may know the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it as fiercely as I should. And that's what we're charged to do. We are charged to do this every day. I am an ambassador. So when I'm out there, and there's people out there, and they say, oh, you're a Christian? Okay. Oh, I'm going to watch you now. I'm going to see how you are. I'm going to see if you swear. I'm going to see if you make coarse jokes. I'm going to see if you actually laugh at my coarse jokes. I'm going to see if you judge me. I'm going to see if you actually, I'm going to say words that are actually going to irritate you and cause you to be uncomfortable. Because you know what? In reality, that's what I'm going through right now. Don't get me wrong. I'm going for my diploma in addictions right now. But I'm going in a place where it's different. They have different beliefs there. And it's almost polar opposite to what I look at. So the truth of the matter is that I have to proclaim and I have to watch what I say. You know what I mean? Even while I'm out and about. Because people are going to look to me and think, well, if he's a Christian, he can go out and do that. Why can't I? And in truth of the matter is if I claim that I'm only human, if I claim that I'm only human, that all of a sudden I'm denouncing the word of God. Oh, I'm only human. Oh, it's my humanism. Well, if I say that, am I living in righteousness? No. The truth of the matter is that if I live in the Spirit, I live in the Spirit all the time. If I live in the Spirit, I'm in communication with God. If I'm in communication with God, my Father, then I know that He's speaking through me and it's all love. So when people hear and see me, I accept them without judgment, without condemnation, without look at you. I'm glad I'm not that person. Well, that's just not the right thing to do now, is it? You know, and if somebody's considered attention seeking, well, then give them attention because they're hurting. And the truth of the matter is a lot of people are groaning inside. A lot of people are groaning. Creation is groaning. And when people are groaning, they don't even realize that they're a child of God and that the flesh within them is groaning, but the spirit within them is even groaning even louder because they're saying, well, it's because of you that I hate Christianity. No, 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 no. You're just groaning as a child of God. You don't even know your place yet, that you're a child of God, that we are all children of God, right? So praise God. Okay, I got one last one. I'm gonna set it all up here. It's the last scripture that I have, and it's James 5. You know, one of the things that I was doing before I came here, I was driving down, and, you know, I don't have these things planned out. I don't. All these scriptures that I just read, I was asking God, I'm like, Lord, Father, can you just give me 3 scriptures? That's all I usually ask God for is 3 scriptures. That's it. But he gave me 6. Isn't he awesome, God? I didn't even expect 6 today. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. He gave me 6. I didn't even realize that he gave me 6. He gave me a couple through my wife, so that was pretty cool. That was awesome. So it's at the end of the chapter, patient and suffering. This is what we're called to be done, okay? This is what I'm called to do. Be patient then, my brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient, stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He's full of compassion and mercy. He doesn't want none of us to perish. He doesn't want any of us to go through anything that we don't need to go through. Just turn to him. He wants me to turn to him. And so with that, that's my scriptures, okay? That's the things that I stand by. These are the things that God has given me just for today. I don't have these things planned out. I just work by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit moves in our life, he says, talk to that person in front of you. Talk to the person at the counter at the superstore. Talk to the person downtown at City Hall Park. Talk to the person that's at the soup kitchen right now. Go up to them. And half the time, I used to be afraid. Now I'm not. I'd rather stand before a judge and say I did what you told me to do. I'd rather stand before Jesus and say you did what you told me to do than to be afraid to go and talk to somebody that might be going to hell. And we don't even know that they're dead. You know what? Half the time when I talk to somebody, they say, you know what? I just needed that exactly thing for today. Thank you so much. I don't even know who you are. But you hit it on the nail for me. And that's God. That's God's Holy Spirit calling other people through us because we are ambassadors, right? And so for myself, this is my old story. Okay, this is my story right now. In the last little while, I made a commitment. I put it before the church. I said, okay, you guys, I'm going to Sunchild, no cheese. Who wants to come with me? I'm going. You know, and a few people wanted to go. And then in the end, it was me and my wife, right? And the truth of the matter is, I said, I need a vehicle. I can't go out there with my minivan. You know, the roads are really rough out there. And then one of the church members here gave me his vehicle. Oh, my Lord, praise the Lord. 4x4, all the way. Eh? Tires and all, winter and everything. Praise the Lord, didn't even expect that. All I was looking for was a truck. And the truth of the matter is that God works out his things in his time. And I tried to work things out in my time. I still don't have enough money. I just still don't have enough money to go. I still don't have enough money to pay for certain things. I had to get the insurance. I had to get checks done. And I had to go and do all these things to get prepared to go. And the truth is that in time, the right people fell into place. All of a sudden, this guy Darcy, I don't know, he's a mechanic, came along out of nowhere, right? And all of a sudden, this other guy, Marty, comes out of nowhere. And this other guy, John, comes out of nowhere. And so all of a sudden, I have these people that are backing me up. All I heard that week from the Lord was, I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. He has my back. With all the doubt that I was thinking and the enemy putting the doubt into my head, thinking that I couldn't do it, everybody else was saying, I got your back. And they're all working through. God was working through every one of them. So all of a sudden, I'm involved with Crossroads. All of a sudden, I'm involved with Livingstones. All of a sudden, I'm involved with, of course, this church. And all of a sudden, the Lord led me to Family of Faith. And all of a sudden, I'm involved in like 4 different churches that are backing me, saying, Gord, we got you. Whatever you need, let us know. Me, I'm too humble. I don't ask for enough, apparently. You know, and sometimes I think that that's the way it is, as just how I am, I guess. I don't ask for God for it enough, when in reality I should put it way up here. But I just ask for this. You know, and so the amazing testimony is that I went out there, finally, I went out already before, gave my testimony out there, then I everything else was coming along, like explained, and then yesterday, we went out, officially, for the first time, eh? And I got to at least hit, well, 1, 2, 3, 4 people, 5 people, and that's the most important thing. One soul is enough. Thousands, amazing. 10,000, wow, you know? But at this point in time, I'm just happy with one. And the truth is that you see this right here that I explained to you at the beginning? This is what happened to me when I went to the first house. I went up to a pit bull, and it was just barking, and rah, 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 and all these other dogs were just running around. I was like, shut up, get out of here. That's how I talk to res dogs anyways. That's still true. Anyhow, so all of a sudden this dog comes running up, and I'm like, ah, I have this great rapport with dogs and kids. I do. I really do. So I was thinking, well, nah, this dog ain't going to bite me. Here you go. Here's my hand. Well, you know, not a surprise, eh? I didn't know that dogs chained up are natural to bite. So... And this jaw had this dog had a huge jaw, like 10, 12 inches. It's huge. And I was just going to stick my hand in front of it. Like, Gord, you're sticking your hand in front of a dog with huge jaws. He's a guard dog. Like, beware of dogs, it says. Finally, it says beware of dogs. And it's the first sign that I seen when I went into this house. And so he chomped it. And that was the end of it. I couldn't believe it. It's just, and thank God, Greg came out and shushed his dog away right away, or else I probably would have been a chew toy. So, but I had a whole handful of blood, and I was just sitting there looking at it. I'm like, oh, jeez, look at this, eh? He just went running in, grabbed a shirt and stuff like that, wrapped it up, and then I sat there and started to minister him. Then I sat there and started talking to him about God. Then I started telling him why I was there, you know? And this is just a small thing. Like, this is not going to deter me from going out to the Sunchild community and the Ochi's community. It's not. But I know that there's a battle. And the battle's out there. And we are all called, each and every one of us, we are all called to reach people. One person, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking of you. They give me the strength to do everything that I have to do. That's what it is, eh? That's what it is. You know, one person at a time, one person at a time, that's it. We don't have to save the whole world. Just one person, that's all. So that's, I guess, my report, my update, my, you know, let's just bow our heads for everybody that's still out there in addictions right now. Lord, Father God, we thank you for this moment to be able to go through your word and realize that people are still suffering out there, and that we are your light, we are your hands, we are your feet, we are your words, we are your ambassadors, Lord. Empower us when we hear your Holy Spirit to be able to speak up and speak out and pray and touch people and heal people and lead them to you, Lord, through our own messages, through our own testimonies. Through the things that we have been through for your glory, Lord. I didn't suffer for nothing. I didn't suffer through abuse for nothing. I didn't suffer through addictions for nothing. I didn't suffer through poverty for nothing. Ah, Lord, it was all for your glory. And so each and every one of us have our story so that we can glorify you, Lord Jesus. Lord, Father God, we want to glorify all of you, every part, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes and tells us when we need to do these things. We just submit, Lord, submit. We have no control. You are the one that tells us when and where to go and how to do it. Lord, Father God, thank you so much. I pray for everybody that's here, Lord. Thank you. And may we all lift hands in prayer and glory to your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, God.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to pray with Gord and for Gord. So you join me in that. God, thank you. Thank you for the way you move in people's lives. Thank you for the way that you move in Gord and Mary's lives, God. You are the good and faithful, holy Father. You give us breath and life. And God, I thank you for the way you have cared for throughout their lives. You've cared for Mary and Gord and their kids. God, you know the beginning. You know the end. You see them where they're at right now, God. And God, we together ask that you would bless your servants, bless these people, God, that want to honor you, that you would bless them with your protection and even increase their faith that you've already given them, God. Multiply their faith by 10 times what it is now, God, that they would see your glory and that they would honor you, that you would be honored and glorified and praised by the way you are working in their lives, reaching out to others. So, God, we ask for your blessing and your protection over them, over their family, over their children. Bless and protect their marriage and the vehicle that they're driving in. God, when they're on the road, that you would put your angels around them in front and behind and on the sides, and that you would go with them and before them, and you will. You will, God. We know that. And so we're not so much asking, but we're thanking you, God. We're thanking you that you will bless them and that you will protect them, and you are going with them today and in the future. You are going with them as you've always been with them in the past. Thank you, God. Praise your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Just one more note. For those that know my mother, Bernice Butterfly, she's in the hospital right now. So if any of you'd like to go visit her, she's on unit 2206. So, and just pray. And I'm going to school, so if you can pray for a living allowance for me so I don't have to struggle so much.
Something that I was supposed to say. You can come on up if you want, Gaston. Something I was supposed to say at the start. Chad, you want to throw 1 Corinthians 14 up? Yes, it's we'll have a chance to speak here. And I think something that's important, the other folks on the board and all of us were talking about this the other night, that it's important that when somebody is speaking, that we test the spirits, because there is the Holy Spirit from God, and then there's a bunch of other spirits that are not from God, and we need to be careful, and we need to test and discern. And so that's my charge for you here today, is to test and to be discerning as to what's being said. 1 Corinthians 14, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, and this is important, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And 1 John 4, Chad. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And another one, the last one, Galatians chapter 5, Chad. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 25. But the, When we're testing the Spirit, I'm bringing this one up, because when we're testing the Spirit and when we're testing and we're listening and discerning, ask yourselves, what is being brought? Does it meet this criteria? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you're hearing a message from somebody and they're saying that it's from God, well, if there is love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control bundled up in that message, yeah, you know what? It may very well be from God. But if it is angry and contentious and scrappy and it stinks, it's probably not from God. Anyways. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let all things be done for edification. I was supposed to open with that, and I didn't, so I apologize. No, I know I didn't. I was supposed to, though. Yeah, I screwed up. All right, so Gaston, you've got something to say here? Do you want to be up here or down there? Okay.
I enjoyed the testimony that Gordon gave. You know, he went and got one soul. But, you know, prior to that, he had to go to the refining of the fire of God. Jesus worked on his heart to purify him. And he went through a hard time. We know that. But, you know, God was with him. Half of us are broken. We are broken. But God, okay, thank you. Let me start over then. You know, what I saw in him is that God built character in him through perseverance. That's what he used the scriptures. And, you know, God is for us. Me, I'm not a teacher. So I always try not to teach. So I'm an evangelist. I want souls too. And everything about us, we come together here because we have received Christ in our life at one time or another. It's all about Jesus at the end of the day. And what I want to say is, I lose my train of thought. Praise Jesus. You know, I was sitting there, and so many things was going through my mind, and I was thinking, oh, I don't want to forget that. I knew I would. Praise Jesus. You know, it's easier to sit over there than stand over here, I tell you that. But the beautiful thing about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is that it builds character in us. And some of us here are broken. And the devil is doing a really good work at breaking us down. But the Word of God... Oh, this is what I was thinking. That's right. I remember now. Now, the word of God is God himself. And how do we recoup from being broken? So we go back to the source where what established us in the first place, which is Jesus. Sanctification, justification, whatever we found Jesus to be for us when we came to know him. Now, 2 days ago, my wife and I, we realized a month ago that we were giving only crumbs to the Lord when it comes to our relationship with him. And so every morning now we get together for an hour And the first thing we do is we read the word and we pray for an hour and a half. I've been wishing that for 30 years, that I would pray for an hour. You know that? You know, I used to give God crumbs every day for the last 30 years. I would say, oh, thank you, Lord, for the food. Or I was so busy every day that I would say, thank you here and thank you there. But he says, you draw near me, I draw near you. I tell you, I need to draw near him. Because when you depart from here and you go about your life, there's a lot of places to die. There's a lot of places to be under oppression in your mind, when you stay away from the Lord. Like, you know, not drawing near him. He says, this is your first move. What does it say? It says, draw near me, I draw near you. What does it say? It says, you do it first. You draw near me, I'll be there. He's actually always there, but you have to seek him. He said, ask and knock. What scripture we read the other day? It says, you knock, if somebody comes to you at night and asks you for 3 loaves of bread, and you knock, most people, but if you keep knocking, I will answer. So the power of the word is very important. And today you have received the word. And this is what I'm going to do right now. Is I'm not a teacher, but the word is a teacher. And I believe that some of us here today needs to receive the word and let it soak in. Just let it soak in. I read Romans, and sometimes we read one scripture here, one scripture there. But, you know, the book of Romans, if you read the first chapter, not just first verse, the first chapter is a letter. And I read it this week over and over. And when you read from the beginning to the end, it says so much. It says a lot. And I'm going to give it to you today. I'm going to get my brother to come here, maybe Chad. And you're going to read the whole one chapter of the book of Romans. Just let it soak over you. And you know what the Lord said to me 2 days ago? I don't know if I'm going to do it today because it will be hard on some of us. Is you do that 7 times. You listen to it 7 times. Just let the word, just listen. I'm not a teacher. The word will teach you. And I tell you, there's so much. I mean, if you listen to it 7 times, I guarantee you some of you will be changed today. There's so much, so much. But this is the word of God. This is God alone. This is God alive. The word is God. It's actually living water. Praise the Lord.
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature does, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. However, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The whole creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until this present day. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he has also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for all of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Or demons, or famine, or pit bulls. You know, you are a brother growing, my brother. You have one soul, you're going to have 30. You want them, you're going to get them. Praise the Lord. One soul at a time. I'm sure glad they came to get me, that man there that wanted to bring one soul. I'm sure glad he came and changed my life. Praise Jesus. You know, this scripture is so much, this is after you've been born again. This is after you've been made righteous before the Father. By his blood. This is after. Some of us here may not be born again. I want to raise a hand of who's born again in here. I want to see if somebody is not. If somebody is not born again that I didn't know of. Any hands? No hands. Well, that's good because I was going to go after you. My message was going to change. My message was going to change. I was going to talk about what it is to be born again, how it is. But you know, some of us are born again here, but we don't really truly understand what happened when the blood came. We really don't understand what happened when Jesus came to save us. And I like to, you know, this, I bring you to salvation, and then just you need to know that you were forgiven. You need to know that you are set free. And you need to know that you are set free from sin. You can say no to sin. You can say no. That's your freedom. Before you were in sin, you couldn't say no. That was your nature. But now that you have a new nature, according to God, you have a divine nature. You are a partaker of his divine nature. He lives in you. So therefore, that's what it says in Romans 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for you because you've been being right before God. Spiritually speaking, you are. But there's still sin that wants to come and grab you, that wants to entice you. And you're not free to go there. You're set free from that, but that's the very thing that you're set free from. If you go there, you will die. I don't preach salvation forever. I preach salvation in Christ Jesus. When you have to turn back to him, you could walk away from him. You could go back and forget that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, some people, if the devil comes, they have such a consciousness of the devil, they will go, whoa, right now. But some of us don't. We don't say woe to him. We don't discern him, and we let him engulf us. You know, it takes time to build character, but God says that if you're given to God, he will never forsake you. He never forsake you. That's the key. He does not forsake you. You say, anything can separate my love from you? No, not demons, nothing. So when you have really came true to God, God will not forsake you. That's what he says. So I'm not going to cut that. I'm not going to discuss that. That's not why I'm here. I want to show you the freedom that you have in him. Very important. Like, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those that have been created to walk according to the Spirit. Now, that's what you have to remember. You're a new creation. You have been given a new heart. You have the heart of God. That's where you know what sin is. Before, you were sin. Before you came to Christ, you were a nature. You had a nature that embraced sin, that you were sin. And that's how you were. Just a sinful man, and you couldn't help yourself. You couldn't please God either. But now that you have come to Christ, or actually, it's not you that gave your life to Christ. It's Christ that gave you a new life. He gave you his life. And you acquired it by faith. You entered it by faith. The beautiful thing of God is that when you're broken and you remember him, then he sets you free again by remembering that you actually were free. That's what forgiveness is. When you remember that he forgave you, that's where you find your forgiveness. You say, whoa, you mean to tell me you did not hold that against me? I hold it against myself. The devil hold it against me. No, you remember who you were. You remember, it says, get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and you see salvation. You say, you see yourself saved. And then we walk away, we forget what we look like. Well, that's our struggle every day. So, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus that do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, that's a new motion. That's a new you. You walk according to the Spirit at all time. I'll show you that. That's your new nature. You have a heart after God. Like you, how can you be partaker of divine nature and still a sinful heart? No, you have a righteous heart. That's how you can die today and enter heaven. You enter because of his work, not because of yours. Now, if there's failure around you, like sin around you, there's sin all around us. Everybody has sin around them. You go forgive yourself. You go for the forgiveness that you find is Christ has forgiven you. I said, you mean to tell me that? I said, Gaston, do you like to steal? Your heart likes to steal. I don't say that I do, but I said that the part of my heart that likes to cheat, likes to lie, likes to exaggerate. There's a part of my life that my heart that does that. I said, stop doing that because you are my righteousness. I give you my righteousness. So then put that aside. You know where really in reality, you are changed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you change. You get changed by the renewing of your mind. So you find yourself righteous before the Father by the blood of the Lamb. redemption, creation, born again, and then you walk freely by saying, what you mean to tell me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the fulfillment of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm the representation of what Jesus did on the cross. You and me. So therefore, we can walk freely. So I will do that. It would have been powerful, I think, to have the word read 7 times to you, same words. And the reason is that it goes into you. That's what the teaching is for me. I'm not a teacher, so I just throw it at you and let it fall. I'm a fisherman. I throw the seeds. So bless you today.
Rob wants to tell us something here.
Thank you. My name's Robert Swan. Praise be to God. And His glory lives in all of us. It's hard to find sometimes, but if I look, I'm sure it's to find it. I'm sure it's there. I love the idea of new beginnings and the beauty of every sunrise is the newest miracle in my life. Angels and demons, life and death. There's right and there's wrong. Inherently, right inside, I know. And I'm not going to say sin is good. Sin, there's nothing wrong with sin. I'm not going to say that the law is bad, but I'm going to say He is good. And He sees value in me. And He lifts me up. He's always lifted. Lord, lifted. I'm a scientific man. Everything has to have a test. It's strange sometimes. I don't believe anything. I'm a super skeptic. And I know I'm surrounded by spirits. Everyone here has a spirit. And I know the Jesus is the litmus test. Scientifically. But in reality, if any of the spirits, any single spirit doesn't admit that Christ is King, Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then that spirit doesn't have any sway. But that's the litmus test, and that's the one that cuts, that's sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your Holy Spirit. There is a Father and a reason that everything is the way it is, and there's a reason everything's going to be the way it is. And it isn't far away. Thank you, Lord. Let me see that day.
Would you like a mic brought to you? Or do you want to come with here? Okay. All right.
I just wanted to share about new beginnings and also answer prayer. You guys have been praying for my husband, Sonny, for over 2 years now because he's been in and out of the hospital. And the Lord had promised us new beginnings this year, since August to now. And what happened was he's been praying for 2 years for a house for Rose and I, that we could have a bigger place, that Rose could have a room for herself, and she didn't have to share it with books and videos and stuff like that, that it's a place that she could call her own. And I've been fighting all this whole time about it, but Sonny's been praying in his prayer room about it and saying, Lord, I would sure like a home for them. And the Lord heard his cry and answered his cry. About a month and a half ago, and the other thing was that the Lord told him don't go looking, that the Lord was going to bring it to him. And that was kind of hard to believe. For me, it was hard to believe, thinking you have to look for it. You have to go searching. You have to look in the papers. You have to do this. You have to do that. And what happened was a friend of mine sent me a picture on my phone. And on this picture, it had a rent sign. And on this rent sign, it also had a picture of a home. And I didn't show Sonny this for a good week at least, because I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to move. Even though, yes, I knew his health, that we needed to move, and I understood that. But I wasn't ready for change. I was happy where I was at. And I kept saying that to the Lord. Lord, I know we have to move, but I don't want to. You're going to have to change my heart. You're going to have to change my heart. But when this picture came to me, I wasn't ready for it yet. And so I waited and waited and waited. And then finally, one day the Lord says to me, you need to show him this picture. And I'm saying, but Lord, I don't want a house. I like it where we're at. He says, show him. So I said, okay, I will listen to you and I will show him. So I showed him it. He says, oh, that's nice. And he left it. And I thought, oh, maybe he's not interested. That's good. And so anyway, a week later, he says to me, do you remember that phone number that you got on your phone that a friend, I need you to phone it. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, not now, not now. Okay, Lord, I'll be faithful. I'll listen to him and I'll listen to you and I will do what you want me to do. So I phoned it up and I said, could we come and see it? Well, she says, yeah, you can come. I think a couple days later, you can come see it. So I said, okay. So we went and we seen it. And it was a beautiful 4-bedroom home with a beautiful yard. And I felt at peace, actually, when we were looking at this house. And I thought, oh, but I thought the price is going to be way too high for us. And the landlord told us the price. And so we said, we're interested. And I said, okay. But then the lady says, well, I have a couple other people to show the house to. And one of them wants to rent the house for $1,500. And she was only giving it to us for $1,300. So it was just like, okay. So I released the landlord and I said, okay, if you got to do what you got to do. And if your husband says rent it out for $1,500, you go ahead, and it wasn't meant to be for us. That's okay. You just got to do what your heart tells you to do. That's what I kept getting. So that's fine. So a couple of days later, she texts me back and she says, it's yours. And I was just like, wow. Now, the problem was we had to give a month's notice. So I said, can we rent it the 15th of September instead of the 1st? She says, sure, not a problem. So we did all the arrangements we had to do. And then we moved in the 17th. It was on a weekend, the 17th of September. And the Lord has given us a beautiful home, just like Sonny has been praying. Rose has her own room. We have an office. We have an extra room for company. And it's everything the Lord said he would give us. And we didn't have to go looking for it. So that's answered prayer. So if you've been praying for something, it might take some time sometimes. This is 2 years now that he's been praying. So it might take time, but I wanted to encourage you to keep praying. Don't give up. And because the Lord hears your cries, And he will answer you one way or the other because he knows what's best for you. And he knew that house was best for us. And you know what? Since I've moved in, I've had a peace about the whole thing. Even when Sonny was in the hospital, I had a peace about being there alone. And it was amazing. And I can just say, it's God that's doing all the work.
Well, that's cool. Sonny said we can all go to his place and hang out. If you also would like to say something, we've got a couple minutes left, and I want to give you that opportunity, but Don's got something to say, and Marilise. You know, I just want to brag on my wife here for a minute. When those guys were here from Abbotsford a couple weeks ago, the one, I think it was the lady, was saying that Margaret was a faithful woman, and that she was a, and what all she was saying, I can't recall, but one of the key things was she was talking about how Margaret was a faithful, godly woman. And I'll tell you a story, you know, in 87, Margaret was in a car wreck that was pretty bad. And from that, she started getting seizures that looked a lot like epileptic seizures. Apparently they weren't, but could have fooled me. Nonetheless, for 27 years, right? 27 years, she trusted in God, and she prayed and kept trusting in God, even though the seizures didn't go away. She kept praying, she kept trusting, and she did not take the meds from the doctors. She kept praying and she kept trusting, and she has now been seizure free for 4 years. Yeah, she's a good girl. And Dawn and Marilise also wanted to say something.
Hello, everyone. I just want to relate to what Gordon said and what Gaston said, because it spoke to me so strongly. Gordon, you are, like Gaston said, you're on your way. He has put you through the fire, but now you're walking with him. You're going to increase. You're going to be such a light for their reservations, because you're showing them what can happen. And Gaston is always the same. He encourages me so much. We usually talk to each other almost every day. He's such a man of God that him and I have talked to this and about this. We're not judging people, not at all. But like Don said, test their spirit. It doesn't take long to test someone's spirit. Not saying that I walk in the spirit constantly, but I sure worship him and help, ask him to help me. When you meet somebody and if all they do is talk about their self, constantly about their self, is that spirit or is that flesh? It's flesh. Constantly what they did, what they didn't do, what they didn't. And I'm guilty of that at times too. But when they talk about Jesus, constantly talk about Jesus, I cannot stop talking about him, because I don't want to be crude in saying this, but he saved my butt from the fire. So why don't I want to talk about him? Who else am I to talk about? I'm 79 years old. I'm almost coming to the end of my my life, I know. And somebody says, oh, you come from a long line of livers. Look at your mom, 108. I don't want to live that long because she is not doing well. She's doing terrible. And I keep asking, Lord, take her home. Take her home. Because she has restless legs. She lays in her bed. She's just quivering all the time. When I saw her in August the 1st, but I said goodbye to her. I said, Mom, I'm not coming back no more. I will see you in heaven. But that's another thing. When we have the love of Christ in us, I know some friends. I know especially one that, or actually two that are outstanding in my life that are showing the love of Christ when they're constantly hugging someone and talking about the Lord. It's oozing out of them. The love of Christ is oozing out. The divine love. There's a difference between physical love and divine love. I can come up to anybody and give them a little hug. A man like me should never hug a woman in the front, always on the side. And you know why. But when you have him on your mind, you can talk about nothing else. I have lots of time because I'm retired. I like praying for everyone. I always say to people, phone me up and give me your request. If there's a relative in the hospital or you're in the hospital, phone me. Let me know. I can't pray unless I know. But what are you talking? What are you thinking about constantly every day? That tells you if you're in the flesh or in the spirit. Divine love. That's so different than the ordinary love. God fills you with his love and you go and show it. I am learning this so much. I have a friend I know, he prays for me every day that I can show the love at the kitchen. That's your test when you go to that kitchen. That's when you really are tested because of the people that are there. But we have to show Christ's love. Why are we still on? Why am I still on this earth at 79? The Bible says, what, 3 score and 10, that's 70. Why am I still here? I want to go. I'm ready to go. But no, he says, keep talking. Keep talking, Don. Show the love. Shine for Jesus. Hallelujah. Donald, where are you?
I tell you what, one nice thing about Potters is that you're free, and you're free now. If you need to go, don't let us make you feel like you're constrained to stay. You're not. You have liberty. You've got freedom. So if you need to go, we're not going to stop you. So, and Mary Lise?
I really want to thank all of you, and Gordon, I just want to tell you that when somebody tried to almost feel ashamed for knowing God, for knowing Jesus, tell them that it's through Christ Jesus that we have salvation only, and Jesus is preparing a place for you, okay? And you know where you're going, and those who refuse him, they will go to a place where they are going to suffer for eternity. And tell them that you are happy to know Jesus and that you will go to heaven and be in his presence and be filled with joy and peace for eternity in his presence. And maybe that will shut their mouth. But it was not my message. My message is on Friday was Remembrance Day, trying to say something to our dead and to remember them when they are dead. It's when they are alive that you need to encourage them. It's when they are alive that you need to, you know, to speak word of encouragement and word of life and edify them. But I would like Remembrance Day to be Christ Day. Because he's the one who died for us, and we can remember what he did for us. He gave us the gift of salvation, the best gift ever. And me, I decide not to go to... last year, I went to the Red Deer Arena, and they were remembering a lot of the people who passed away. And there was practically no worship, practically nothing about Jesus. And I said, this is wrong. I said, I don't even want to be here. Because God said, let the dead one, take care of their dead. And I said, me, I want to be a place where they worship Jesus and where they remember Jesus, what they have done. And I pray that Remembrance Day will be a Christian long weekend, and to remember what Christ Jesus did for us, that he gave his life, to give us life, and through his resurrection defeated Satan. And I give Jesus thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
Awesome. Kirsten? Okay. All right. Let's just close with that great blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord God Almighty turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in that beautiful peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good.